Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I'm glad you could be here today, because what you're going to find out is that this show is not like any other show in Christian media. I don't talk about what most of Christian broadcasting is focusing on, which is what we can get from God and what we have to do to go about doing that, making that happen. What I share is the revelation of having a real life relationship with a real God as you deal with your real issues of life. And so how do you go about doing that? Is this real relationship that I'm talking about? It's not about the status quo, which has to do with your performing for God in order for God to do something for you. The everyday status quo that you hear among Christian leaders has to do with you doing something in order to receive something from God. Whether that is something that they consider spiritual, such as, you know, reading your Bible or going to church or being involved in ministry or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And it's more of a relationship that has to do with servitude than the grace of God, which meets us exactly where we are at all times. No matter how we behave, no matter how we perform, He is the God of all grace in every situation. That's the God that I have come to talk to you about. You know, Paul had a meeting in Acts, in one of the instances in his life, where he walked into this this gathering, and they had a whole bunch of different gods all over the place. And he found one, and it was the inscription underneath it said, "To the unknown God." And rather than Paul going and blowing their theology out of the water and getting everybody upset, Paul said to them, "I see that you're very religious people and that you have many gods." And he said, "I notice one that says, you know, you have the inscription underneath it, to the unknown God. Well, the God that you worship in ignorance is the one who I've come to proclaim." That's the wisdom of God, and that is exactly what this program is about. Because there are multiplied millions, dare I say billions, of believers throughout this planet who have embraced this performance-based different gospel as the truth. And so they live their lives believing in this God who looks more like a cruel, distant, impersonal, and punishing taskmaster than he does the loving Father who he really is. So, you know, Paul said to know him was the goal of his life. To know God and to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and to know the resurrection life of Christ, the newness of life, planted in death, raised up in newness of life. That is what Paul wanted to know. And this coming from this Pharisee of Pharisees, this doer of all doers. I mean, you want to find somebody who was more focused on doing for God than Paul. And yet God decided to deal with this man and to reveal grace to him as the doer of all doers. And that's exactly what God does, because God can. And so Paul is going on his merry way, believing he's doing the will of God. And he sees this great light that knocks him off of his horse and onto his back. And he looks up and he hears this voice that says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Well, at this point, Jesus had been long gone. But Jesus equates his body with himself. The two become one. And oneness is what Christ was all about. And oneness is what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that they couldn't handle. Because their revelation of God was a distant God. And Jesus came to proclaim the God who lived in them. And so Paul hears this voice, and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he is struck blind by this light. And the reality is Paul is blinded physically, but for the first time in his life, his spiritual eyes are opened to seeing that there is an authority that has just stepped into his life that he hasn't known before. And this authority is Jesus Christ, the one who he is persecuting because he's persecuting his followers. And Jesus sends them, the message is sent to Paul, "Show him the things he must suffer for my sake." This is the man who's striving in all of his religion, in all of his right keeping of the law, to do the will of God, what he believes is the will of God, and he finds out right then and there the God that he has been running after and serving, the God who is God. That would kind of blow your mind. Well, you know what? That's exactly what is going on today in the American Christian church. There are leaders who are proclaiming this different gospel that has to do with doing something for God and calling it the truth. And there are multiplied millions of believers who have bought this lie and are walking in all kinds of religious condemnation, kinds of believing that they're less than, because they've made the contrast with what these teachings are, and they've come up short. And they always will come up short. And Paul is the one who proclaims this grace of God. This grace of God in Romans chapter 7, when he goes through his trial, where he says, "The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the very things I'm doing are the things that, you know, the things that I don't want to do are the very things I'm doing." Paul is going through this inner turmoil because God is taking to the surface everything that Paul's life has been about up to that point, and he's confronting him with grace. And grace is not some pixie dust floating around, some unmerited favor pixie dust. Grace is the power of God that enables us to proclaim Christ as our life. And so Paul goes through this time in Romans 7, crying out this inner turmoil, seeing two at work, until he finally cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he has a revelation. Because the next thing he says is, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." Right there, the Spirit of grace showed up when Paul was at the end of all things Paul. and revealed grace to him. So much so that the next words that this man writes, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free, made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul had revealed to him that what he was walking in, that law of trying to do for God, the other word for it was condemnation. And the next thing he says is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For there's a new law. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Christ is always the key. Whenever you're reading the Bible, in Christ is the proclamation of it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me, Galatians 2:20 and John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. It goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's oneness. That's oneness. That's the oneness that Jesus is praying in John 17 when he says that they may be one, even as you and I are one. He's talking to his Father. And Paul comes into the revelation of oneness. And he sees this other law called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is grace, that has swallowed up the law of sin and death, which is condemnation and fear of a past that is none of our business and a future that isn't yet here. A past that has completely been taken care of by the blood of Christ, and a future that has no condemnation attached to it in Christ. And Paul sees that. And from Romans 8 on, his message is grace. From Romans 8 on, Paul is talking about the God of all grace, to the point where he says in Philippians that his one desire is to know God, to know this God of all grace. And so how do you know that God of all grace? How do you know the same God of all grace that Paul was proclaiming? You know it in the same exact way Paul did. God has to rule in death on everything we call life. Paul was living his life as a Pharisee, trained by Gamaliel to be one of the next high priests, and who knows where he would have gone with his zeal. But God had a different plan. For I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and hope. And the plan of God is never the plan of independent man. Never. The plan of God is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ, period. And for us to know that we are the container, we are the branch, the temple, the lamp, the vessel of God. Each one of those containing something. You can do nothing for God. I can do nothing for God. It took me years to learn that because it's not taught in the church that sits on the street corner. Because if it was taught, that message would have to begin with the leadership that is teaching it, and that leader, whoever's teaching it, would have to have that same death rolled in on his life, and he would have to lose his ministry and his reputation and his identity and his relationships and his stuff in order to gain that revelation. That is Christ as life. a few weeks ago, I was walking, and I heard the Spirit of God say, the organized church is not designed for real spiritual maturity. The organized church is all about servitude. And yet you'll read Jesus say, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. There's an intimacy in Christ that the church has missed because the church doesn't know the power behind proclaiming the losing to gain message of the cross. Because the reality is God only wants one thing, everything. He wants it all. The rich young ruler thought he had a corner on Jesus. He thought he was going to schmooze his way with him. Good teacher. And Jesus' response, why do you call me good? This life isn't about good. This life isn't about evil. This life is about seeing only God in all things. Good and evil is the tree that is left in the garden. This is not about duality or separation or seeing anything but Christ as your life. But he said, you know, you have a lot of stuff. And he didn't chastise them for what he said. I mean, what he said was ridiculous. All of these things I've kept since I was a young man, which is not true, and Jesus knew it wasn't true. But Jesus loved him right there, and he said, you know, that's good. But one thing you lack. The one thing he lacked was knowing the one who was standing before him in an intimate and real way. And Jesus wanted to bring a solution to that problem in that young man's life by telling him to get rid of the stuff that was at the center of his life so that Christ could be the center of his life. Because if you want everything that God has for you, God is going to move out everything that your life revolves around right here and now so that his life becomes your life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear also with him in glory. That glory is the here and now. That glory is not the far-off, distant place we call heaven, although we'll be there at some point in time. Our focus is not about a future event called the rapture or the second coming. Our focus is here and now. Deuteronomy 8 says, this is Moses, Deuteronomy 8:3 says that the Lord sent us into the wilderness, 8:1-3, purposely, all these years was for one purpose, that you would know the manna who comes down from heaven, the manna that you didn't know, nor did your fathers know. That you might know that man doesn't live by the natural course of things that he sees with his eyes. He doesn't live by bread alone. It's not about physical sustenance. It's not about the outward appearance of things. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is the life of humanity. And the Word of God is not a book that is bound in leather. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. The Word become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And when you take the Word of God and you reduce him down to pages on ink, on pages in a leather-bound book, you remove the person from the personal relationship that we're supposed to have with Jesus Christ. And it becomes the dead letter that kills, Paul said, the letter that kills, not the spirit that gives life. This is about a real, intimate, and personal, dynamic, now relationship with the living God. That's what Christianity is. It's not about following rules. It's not about trying to live for God. It's not about appeasing God by doing one thing or another. It's about surrendering as you are right here and now so he can reveal himself as your life. That's what it's about. And that's why you're going through what you're going through today. That's why you're in the process of losing your house, or why you've lost your job, or why you're dealing with that illness, or why your kids are going crazy and there's nothing you can do about it. Because God is at work. And God works in our mess called life. God is not about rules and rituals and performance and trying. That's religion. God is about love and grace and hope and freedom and life. Right now, exactly where you're at, no matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter to God. God knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows that he created us exactly the way we are in weakness, so that he could be our strength. I wrote an article about 1 o'clock this morning, and it was about, you know, the negative is good. If it wasn't for the negative, you wouldn't be listening to me on your computer right now, because electricity needs both a positive and a negative in order for that power to be real. And we are the absolute negative of God. We always will be the absolute negative of God. And stop trying to be anything but the negative of God. That's why Paul finally came to the place where he said, if I will boast, I will boast in the things that pertain to weakness. Because his weakness is God's power. He learned that. He learned that through the shipwrecks and the beatings and the imprisonments and everything that he went through in his life. And so, what is it you're dealing with today? Because the God of all grace is right there. He's right there, and he's in it with you. And he loves you exactly as you are. He couldn't love you any more than he loves you right now. That's the God of all grace. The God of all grace has appeared. And that's the God that we serve. That's not the God of the different gospel. And so what do? You release your life right now. You just let God have everything as it is right now. You lay it down. You just let him know that you're dust. He already knows it, but he just wants you to know it. He wants you to know that apart from him, you can do nothing. you release what you're holding on to. And then you just rest in His love, knowing that He loves you without any performance-based strings attached. He couldn't love you more than He loves you right now. And then you wait to receive the next thing. And whatever it is that crosses your path is the next thing. The good, the bad, the indifferent. It's all Him. Realize that God is the authority. The enemy has nothing in us. So Jesus said to him, "You have nothing in me." Well, Christ is your life. He has nothing in you either. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm giving away a free 31-day devotional. If you private message me on Facebook, I'll give you a copy free and postage paid. Send it to you. Give me your address. This is what real life is. This is dealing with the everyday down and dirty of our messes. Father, I just thank you, God, for today. Ask the kids, open the ears and open the eyes of those who have heard me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Till next week, God bless.